This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 44. Today we're going to talk about Microsoft's business intelligence story and specifically Office 365 with Siyoung Rhee from Microsoft, recorded live September the 2nd, 2014.
Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Windows Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Chris Johnson.
And I'm Andrew Call.
And we're just two dudes telling you how we see it.
Okay, so today we're joined by Siyoung Rhee, who's a senior product manager in the Office Technical Marketing Group. He joined Microsoft in 2006, and he's currently responsible for the worldwide marketing content, product strategy, and positioning, and field readiness for business intelligence across Office. So, Siyoung, welcome to the show.
Hello, it's an honor to be here. I'm very happy to be able to talk with you guys, as well as represent the Office team on the BI features that we have. And hopefully be able to debunk any questions that you had before and be able to offer more clarity on where we're going.
Fantastic. I tell you, this is probably one of the most requested topics from not only the audience, but I know me personally, because this is one of those areas of SharePoint. We all know that Office 365, and you know, we look at it, you can say even to SharePoint or the SQL side, is this is going to probably uncover a lot of it. This whole stack is so big and you just can't understand all of it. And you know, this is one of those little slivers of the stack that I just haven't really dived in and spent a lot of time with. So we've had a lot of questions from some audience members, and I'm going to try and take the role of from their perspective and act like I don't really understand what's going on with all of this. So I personally am a little confused, not from the messaging, but just because it seems like there's been some change in the product and the offering going back to like the Power Pivot days to what we have today. And I'm just not as familiar with everything in the term. So I guess, is there anything that you want to kind of started off with to kind of, you know, what like your normal, I don't want to call it a pitch, but your normal explanation of what you would use for the BI stack in Office, and then we could just kind of go from there?
Sure, that sounds great. I guess a great context and background that we can start that has affected some of the changes that we've experienced throughout, I guess, this decade was that the term BI has been used in many different, I guess, areas as well as topics. One being that, you know, in the past, you know, business intelligence and data analytics has been more of a specialized area where, you know, IT pros and data specialists got together and created, you know, complex dashboards, data models and whatnot. As data became much more available, as business users kind of, you know, understood that, you know, basing their, you know, business decisions on data made a ton of sense. And so new tools, whether it's from, you know, large companies like us, or whether it's from smaller companies, more specialized in features, created new tools for BI. The world of data analytics has changed quite a bit since its inception many years ago. And so, you know, even in Microsoft, we used to just be more of a data platform player. With SQL Server in the past. You know, we offered our users a simple and maybe a powerful engine to be able to store data and process it in SQL Server. You know, we were looking at the market in, I think it was early 2000, where, you know, we were seeing more and more people use that engine for various business applications. And so that's kind of when we saw the new emergence of, you know, BI tools, like whether it's Cognos or Business Objects or Hyperion. We saw these users, you know, use these complex tools to create those data models and reports. But one thing that we also saw and observed was that people were using Excel as the final tool to create the reports and dashboards. And that was kind of the trigger that clicked with us and said, and what if we had, you know, what if we allow people to do some of those tasks within Excel so they don't have to learn a new tool, especially for the new users in this area. And so in about mid, I think 2000, we thought of that idea and we kind of said, let's add these features, let's try this out in Excel and see if it works. And so that was when we kind of were starting to add new features called, you know, Power Pivot and all the new kind of Power BI features back then. We understood that for, you know, Excel to be a BI or even to be a semi-BI tool, it need to have, you know, performance features and various report-related features. But the most important part was that, you know, Excel back then was limited to, you know, 65,000 rows in 2003, and it was limited to a million rows in 2010. And even a million rows, while large for most Excel applications, could be a very limitations for large BI applications. And so we added a tool called Power Pivot. It was not fully integrated back then. It was more of an add-on, and it opened the gate for you know, rapid analytics within Excel. So that's kind of the history for Power Pivot in the Office suite. And it was launched after Excel 2010, I remember, if I remember correctly. And it was highly successful because it was so new. Back then, people didn't know what, you know, in-memory analytics was, and they were asking, you know, what's the limit of this? You know, can I run my BI applications in Excel? And so we had quite some fun exploring that new area. Fast forward a couple of years, we now have a new suite of BI tools under the Power BI naming, which we thought was a good idea because, you know, Microsoft BI was kind of complex. You had to have SQL Server and all of its BI functionalities. You needed SharePoint Server and you need Excel. And the three tools together would make up the on-premises BI platform. So one of the biggest barriers of implementing Microsoft BI back then in on-premises was that you had to be able to know all three platforms or tools to be able to implement BI. And so with the emergence of cloud, we thought, you know, one of the benefits of cloud being a service always up and running is to be able to reduce some of those barriers. And so with the cloud BI initiative that we had a few years ago, we wanted to create a single experience for people to sign up, but also a single and streamlined experience of the features. And so, you know, well, since we still had Excel and still had some of these tools, we wanted to create a name that would hopefully, in the eyes of users, group these together, and that was Power BI. And so, you know, the name was pretty natural since we already had Power Pivot, and so we added things like Power View for dashboards and reports, and then we gradually added things like Power Query for data access and Power Map for geospatial dashboards and whatnot. So that's kind of the history behind of, you know, where we started as a data platform, and as we observed as the world of data analytics changed to be more pervasive, we added features of BI in Excel. And then as the world moved into a services and cloud-based platforms, we introduced a new service called Power BI for Office 365 last year.
Wow. Okay. So that was a fantastic kind of like, let me get caught up here on where we were. That was incredibly helpful for me, at least. And you just explained a lot of the stuff. I'm going to roll back and kind of pick through some of the things that you said and ask a few questions on this. I jumped into using a lot of the Power Pivot business self-service kind of business intelligence capabilities in SharePoint, or sorry, in Excel when it first came out, and then when it also was kind of rolled in as being part of Excel. I guess it was 2013 is when it was rolled in as part of the product, and still use a lot of it today. But I sometimes get this feeling that I wonder if I'm using something that is kind of like last version, like saying, yeah, that's how we used to do it, or and now you want to look to all the Power BI stuff, or is Power Pivot still considered like a production thing, or it's like a current technology that we're using, or is it being pushed more towards the Power Query and Power View side?
Yes, definitely. So Power Pivot is definitely current, and it's also the engine that runs all of our BI applications. A little bit, if I take a step back, the reason we released something called Power Pivot was that in the past, data models were generally optimized for processing, meaning that, you know, they were optimized for storing data and retrieving data. We call those systems online transactional processing systems, mm-hmm. short for OLTP. Mm-hmm. And these systems are more about, you know, if you use online banking, you know, I need to be sure that, you know, the transactions are all there, they're in real time. If you go to many of the systems that we have today are based on these types of OLTP systems. These systems are accurate and they're fast, but they're not optimized for data analytics. And so a new kind of technology that emerged actually many decades ago was a technology called OLAP, OLAP, Online Analytical Processing. And they're actually, it's actually a different system. It's actually a different technology in terms that it's more about how to read data in an optimal way as opposed to store and retrieve. And so these OLAP systems emerged recently, recently as in a couple of decades ago, but they're not as old as the old systems. But these OLAP systems are what BI is all about. OLAP systems in SQL Server was called SQL Server Analysis Services. So for those of the BI audience out there would remember. And these systems were ideal to be able to, you know, search through lots of data and create reports on top of. The OLAP systems were very popular, I think, around beginning and middle of 2000. They were, you know, people were creating these data models. It was pretty hard to do, and so, you know, it was a lot of consultant work and a lot of implementation that needed to be done.
Okay.
And the reason the OLAP systems was optimal and best for that time was because storage systems weren't fast enough. The OLTP systems, if you want to run a report that was, you know, I wanted to find the 3 years worth of my sales data and find trends in that, it would take a long time. As opposed in the OLAP system, it would, you know, come back in a matter of seconds because all the data would be indexed as according to what my business needs. And so people are creating all these, you know, cubes. Cubes are the forms of OLAP systems. And one kind of observation we saw was that even cubes weren't fast enough, you know, in the sense that people had to predefine data models for those cubes to work. And so that's kind of when the new technology of tabular data models or columnar storages kind of came out, which was a new paradigm in data storage as opposed to OLAP, was that columnar storage was even faster. It created indexes on the columns as opposed to rows, and it was based on a new architecture that was more optimized for data analytics than OLAP. And most importantly, it utilized a lot of the in-memory technology that kind of emerged recently.
Mm.
So instead of being limited by the hard drives in many servers and workstations, all of the data was actually loaded into memory and analyzed in those very fast environments.
Mm.
And so with the emergence of columnar storage, in-memory technology, and tabular data models, that's kind of where Power Pivot comes in. It made a lot of sense because our new tool, Excel, was installed in a lot of cases in laptops and workstations with memory. And so as long as a system had memory, we were able to load data into it and analyze it. And so Power Pivot is based on that concept. It's an in-memory analytical engine that has a lot of capabilities for creating reports, but at its core, it's about modeling data based on that concept. You don't have to have consultants and database experts to create a Power Pivot data model. It's very end-user friendly in the sense that it uses the syntax that you use to create and query those data is very similar to Excel. We call that those DAX queries. And so, you know, a typical Excel user would be able to pick that language up pretty quickly to be able to analyze their data sets.
Mm, okay. So that helps a lot then. So it makes sense that if you want to use, so let me just restate what you said just real briefly and tell me if I'm getting it right here. So I'm using Power Pivot. I would still use it today if I'm really targeting my data source as being a more transactional-based source where I'm being able to go through and create my own in-memory cubes in a way. I mean, I know I could connect to existing cubes, but it's more I have access to the raw data and I'm doing more of the massaging and more of the modeling and stuff on my own, and not so much of there's somebody else that's gone through and spent, you know, invested a lot of time in building out the cube and doing a lot of the roll up and the aggregation of the data and making it maybe not as relational, making it more flat to make it faster to process and analyze. Is that fairly accurate?
Yes, exactly. So
in the
early stages of when we introduced Power Pivot, we saw a lot of people use it for rapid prototypes.
Mm.
As you can imagine, for the traditional cubes and OLAP data stores, they required a lot of work to get those up and running, as well as maintaining those large complex data models. And so Power Pivot in that sense was a much easier way to create those data models. And so yes, it was used for rapid prototypes, it was used for smaller data sets, and of course it was much easier to create, especially for business users, because it mimicked the language that Excel used.
Okay, so that helps. Now, so from there, then Microsoft came out with the Power BI collection of Power stuff, for lack of a better way to say it. So you said Power Query, Power View, and Power Map. And so Power Map was the more geospatial one, that one I think is fairly easy for people to kind of grasp. But when I look at like something like Power View or Power Query, you know, what, how do I look at those as being, there's a couple of things I want to go into here. So part, how do I look at them as being in separate things, or like, you know, what is, what would I use one for one scenario? How would I use the other one in a different scenario? And then another sense of, another question would be then is, what do I need to leverage this? So like, is Power BI, is this a hosted cloud-based thing? And if I'm a on-premises customer, I really have to look to the cloud to do this stuff. There is not a, like, for example, a good correlation here, it's like Yammer. Power BI, is it like Yammer in the sense that it's only cloud? Or is it in the sense of, like, say, workflow, where I can have it on-prem and every piece of it on-prem, including the engine, if I absolutely need to?
Right. So let me answer the second question first on what Power BI is. It's generally, the first step in understanding that is to think of it as starting in Excel, right? And so all of the features, whether it's Power Query for data access, whether it's Power Pivot for data modeling, whether it's Power View and Power Maps for report creation, these features are all offered in the Excel client standalone. So you don't have to have any services, you don't have to have any servers. You can create your reports, analyze your data, and share that with just the Excel client. So that's that. Now, as soon as you want to expand those insights, if you want to share those Excel workbooks securely across your organization, if you want to be able to, you know, host dashboards that other people can look at and make those more wearable, if you want to be able to do some advanced, you know, hybrid data connections of on-premise data sources, if you want to, you know, allow mobile access with apps, and these additional features will require a service somewhere for this to run, right? You can't run all that from your laptop. Mm-hmm. And so the Office 365 service for Power BI is exactly that. It's the service that allows users to be able to, the most important part is to share those workbooks across the organization. And that's kind of where we started. In the basic version of Office 365, in the enterprise license being E3, there is a service called Excel Online, where you can, when you publish an Excel workbook, it will render the contents in the browser. And so in the Excel Online environment, with the enterprise licenses, it actually renders and models the data model that you created in Power Pivot. It will actually, as soon as you publish that Excel workbook, it will publish that data model into the Azure database on the back end. Mm. And so you actually have a running BI platform in Office 365. Now, this was just the basic features that we wanted to make sure that people can share their workbooks in Office 365. We had a lot of requests that they wanted further features like scheduled refreshes. We wanted to add new features like natural language query with Q&A and a host of other features like mobility. And these will all kind of align. These have aligned in the Power BI for Office 365 as service, and that's kind of the top level service that we offer with larger data sizes, you know, access to on-prem data sources. But I guess in general, in the high level view, all of the stuff that you can do in a BI client can be done in Excel, and the service part is how it extends it to other users, to other groups, and to other features such as connecting to on-premise data sources.
Okay, so that definitely helps. So the tools that we have in 365 then that effectively give us the Power BI story, I have all of that in Excel 2013 when I install the client. It's the ability to have the more service or server-based things, like you said, the schedule refresh, like being able to share it, like being able to secure it, like being able to offload the if someone is working off of a low-powered tablet or off their phone, they'd still be able to consume it from 365 because the server side, it can do all the processing and not me having to do all the stuff down on my native client. Is that accurate?
Exactly. That's very accurate.
Okay, cool. Okay, that definitely helps. I didn't know I had the whole thing. I thought I was trying to use it only in 365. I didn't realize I was updated already. So in the one thing you mentioned too, and this dawned on me and I had to take a note of it because I want to make sure I put this in our show notes, but you mentioned like the natural language query piece to it. I remember a demo by a gentleman, I believe it was last summer in 2013 at WPC, where he did the crazy like music style thing. And it was by far the most entertaining I don't know if it was keynote or presentation, but the last 10 minutes of that session was absolutely hilarious. And this guy was like, I don't remember his name, but it was absolutely fabulous demonstration of this. And we'll make sure we put that link in the show notes to the video recording of that.
Yes, we should. That feature that we announced back then was called Q&A. It's a simple name. And it's built into the Power BI for Office 365 service. And the key kind of concept behind that story is to offer a different way to both look into the data sets, but also dynamically create reports. One of the things that we observe from BI users in the past is that even though we try to make it easy and we integrate it into the Office client, it was still very hard for end users to be able to look into that data. You had to know what a data model was. You had to know what members and dimensions and what those were. And it was really hard for the business users to parse that. And so we created the tool called Q&A, based on natural language query technology, to be able to write a simple sentence as you would search in a search engine like Bing or Google, and be able to get reports based off of that. And so if you can do simple searches like, give me the top 10, albums or songs or artists for the last 4 decades, for example. And based on that sentence or question, it would create those dynamic reports automatically. Mm. Now, for this to work on the back end, you had to have a Q&A service running, and some of those data sources are already predefined, meaning that it doesn't just go out and do a wild search on the internet. It actually looks into the data models that you were created and to find those answers. Mm. And so that's kind of there's an information service in the back end that does that. From the client side, so what if somebody asks, give me the top 10, population for the states or countries or cities. And depending on who's asking the questions, sometimes different words would have different meanings. And so the ability to add a dictionary type synonyms was included in the Excel client and Power Pivot in the advanced menu. And so you can anticipate what users would ask for and prepare in advance that these two different words would actually mean the same in the data model. And so that's kind of where we're going. It's still pretty early. A lot of the demos are exciting and very fun to use. But the whole term natural language query, as magical as it sounds and looks, there's some work on the back end that needs to be done to make it much more accurate.
I was in a project when I first, soon after college, I guess in the first few years, one of my first jobs, we were doing a natural language parser and natural language query for medical data. So yeah, I have some firsthand appreciation of how complicated, how hard that nut is to crack. So let me then ask you, there's two other things I kind of wanted to dive in here. So my understanding is that everything we're talking about, this is Microsoft's business intelligence offering to customers. I mean, it's from Office. It's an Office thing. And we say, this is the business offering that we have. And my perception, I guess, let me get through this and you tell me how much of this is inaccurate, and then feel free to correct me, or I might come across very luckily and nail it. I doubt it though. But my understanding or my perception is that all of this that we're talking about, this Power BI, this is Microsoft's business intelligence offering, and it's coming from the Office side. And that's primarily for the consumer side. So the end user or the business analysts or the people that are generating the reports and the dashboards and such. But when we also have from the SQL side, which is, I think, where, if I'm not mistaken, that's where traditionally the BI stuff was coming from originally, that they can, they're providing the data, they're providing some of the cubes for advanced modeling and stuff like that. But the end user and the modeling experience is coming from the Office side, where SQL is being used for creating the OLAP and the cubes and the ELT type stuff. I guess I'm going there. If I've gone too far, right. If I'm way off the deep end, if you should stop me now.
Right. So let me stop you there. So I guess the first part that I would like to correct would be that you are correct that in the past we were the Office team, we were the SQL team, and we even had a SharePoint team in between. And we have three different products and three different divisions, right? We fixed a lot of that, not only due to feedback, but because it made more sense to have an integrated team for the solution of what we call BI. So there isn't a separate Office BI team. There isn't a separate SQL BI team anymore. It's one Microsoft BI team, both from an engineering perspective, but also from a marketing perspective.
Okay.
So that's a good change that we hope would make more sense for everybody. That said, we... at least in the cloud perspective, it's called Power BI for Office 365, but the feature sets are developed from everywhere. From the Excel client is developed from the Excel teams, but there's also advanced analytics teams who are helping and building features into the Excel client. There is traditional, what you just mentioned, like ETL or data access teams who are building features into the Excel client, but also into the cloud services. On top of that, Office 365 runs a lot of its services from Azure. And so, a lot of these services and capabilities and technologies and platforms are actually integrated more than people think. And so from that perspective, there's no more, Excel BI or SQL BI or SharePoint BI anymore. It's one big Microsoft BI platform and story and delivery mechanism. So with that said, the Power BI for Office 365 service, as you mentioned, is the business user tool in the cloud. And so we focus it getting business users and BI power users alike to use that service, and it's up and running. And one of the biggest questions that we get is, are there plans to bring it on-premise, or are there other plans for corporate BI scenarios that we have before? And the answer is definitely yes. Power BI for Office 365 was the first solution that we got out the door for all of the mass amount of users who are already on Office 365, or the people who are considering utilizing the cloud services because it was up and running, so they didn't have to go and install all the SharePoint server farms and all the SQL Server connectivity complexities. And so that was kind of the first service that was out. There's a much larger story in the Microsoft Business Analytics framework, such as big data, lots of data, machine learning, predictive analytics, and all of these are in the pipeline to deliver that kind of uber vision of what data analytics is. Power BI for Office 365 is simply one solution that we announced for the end users. And so as you hear from us going forward, we will announce and show more about what that vision is of what data analytics is in the future. So, it would be exciting to stay tuned for what we have in those areas.
Oh, very cool. So if anybody is looking to like learn more about this, like is there a specific conference that they should target to find out more about this? Like, is there a business intelligence conference? Is it a SQL thing? Is it waiting for the Unified Technology Conference that's next May in Chicago? What is the next like kind of big event? And then like, what would you say is, if someone had like a call to action saying, how can I go get ramped up and learn more about this? Where would you point them today?
In the near term, there's a conference called the PASS conference, and it's probably in early November, if I remember correctly. And so that's the near term one where you can go to learn all about data, big data from Microsoft. It's not totally Microsoft owned, but Microsoft is the largest sponsor for that conference. And so we have a lot of experts and IT pros and database administrators and BI experts go there to learn about more there. And as you mentioned, there's a lot of Microsoft conferences that we have, and we're trying to merge those into a larger conference. And so when that gets formalized, we'll definitely focus on that conference to drive more BI awareness, education, as well as the new products and features that will come out.
Fantastic. Okay. So anything else you say that you think people should know about this? I mean, this has been incredibly helpful for me, which, judging from the questions that we've received from our audience, it was nice to kind of see that they were as ignorant as I was in certain areas. So if it's helped me, I'm sure it's helped many of them as well. So is anything else that you'd like to instill in them before we wrap this up?
Yes, I guess finally, I'd like to encourage a lot of the audiences and users to visit powerbi.com. That's the go-to site to experience the Microsoft BI in the cloud solution. There's free trials that you can sign up to actually experience it. And we have a ton of content and how-tos there to be able to get you guys up and started. The biggest, benefits of the cloud is that you know, again, you don't have to go install anything or, you know, set up servers and farms. It's all up and running. So, you know, if you have data sets that you'd like to analyze, definitely go there and have it, look at it and give it a spin.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. This has been incredibly helpful. Where can people find you? Where do you blog, Twitter? Where's the best place for people to find you to learn more about you?
So I don't actually have a separate blog. The blogs that I publish are in the Office Blogs. The Uber Office blog, sometimes they add our name, sometimes they just says the Office blog team, but most of the BI articles in the Office blogs are written by myself. So,
oh, very cool. Very cool. Well, Siyoung, thank you very much for taking the time to do this. I know this is, we both had challenging scheduling challenges that we've been trying to do this for, it might have been a month or two now, but I really do appreciate you taking the time today, and I'm glad we could do this, and really curious to see what people's reaction is and questions are coming out of this podcast. So thank you very much.
Thank you for setting this up. It's a pleasure.
If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or MP3 and provide a link so we can play your question on the show. You can subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find full transcript and show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook, searching for Microsoft Cloud Show, or on Twitter, at MS Cloud Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.